It's a lively morning at the National Concert Hall in Dublin, where members of the Blow the Dust Orchestra are arriving with their instruments for the day's rehearsal.
John, what do you play? No,
I can't.
Percussion.
You carry it around in a
bag of tricks.
A briefcase.
The Blow the Dust was set up in 2009 by the National Concert Hall as part of Bealtaine, the festival that celebrates creativity with age.
Yes, I've loved it, yeah.
Dance of the Tumblers.
We have Tchaikovsky first, Dance of the Tumblers, Rimsky-Korsakov. I have a few Irish ones, you know, Danny Boy, Make You All Cry. And Maggie and Molly, Jigsy Reelsy Thing. We're in Charity of the Fire, we are.
We are.
And on Milhap Thulagin, on Abba Medley.
The orchestra encourages older people who used to play orchestral instruments to dust them off and take up playing again. I discovered that for one violinist, Carol Fox, it was also an opportunity to revive a 200-year-old heirloom. Carol's last job was in the Dáil, where she was a researcher with the Green Party. She's from just outside Boston.
I arrived in 1974. Obviously, the weather didn't put me off. The economy might send me home. But I've obviously enjoyed it and raised a family here. My father taught music. He was an engineer, actually, but in the evenings he would teach music. And there had two brothers and myself, and he taught all of us and half the town. He taught probably for about 20 years in our town, in Foxborough, outside Boston. He himself was a very good violinist, and he taught me violin. And he kept playing the violin through all those years, and he had people that he would accompany him, etc. And in the assisted living place that he lived for the last 10 years, he did a Christmas concert every year. So he was featured in the local paper when he was 96, giving. That was his last concert, unfortunately. But he kept playing till about 4 months before he died. He was nearly 98.
Carol and I listened to an old recording of her father Michael playing that violin.
He obviously got a lot of solace from it, and he would just go and rehearse on his own. And I was told afterwards, different people told me that they used to go by his door in the corridor and sit outside on the chairs and listen. He didn't know this, but he had a little fan club.
Members of the Blow the Dust Orchestra travel to the National Concert Hall from all parts of the country. No one in the orchestra is a professional musician, but these men and women share a renewed love for playing music, and they have a great sense of humour.
I said to someone the other day what age I was. I didn't mind this person saying, she was a hearing test, you know, she was a hearing test. I didn't mind her saying, you know, you were born in whatever, way beyond, but she said to me, oh, you must have seen an awful lot of things in your lifestyle.
Joe Chibby conducts the Blow the Dust Orchestra. Joe's a musician who arranges music and plays double bass. He was the orchestra's first conductor and was involved in the group's launch.
This was set up almost like a social event where people were getting out and they were going to perform in this little ensemble. But the reality is that the orchestra has taken its life, really, you know. So they are really into what they're doing and they're really very proud of their orchestra, which is great.
Over the years, he's seen the orchestra develop its own personality, similar to what you'd find in any professional orchestra.
In the orchestra, there are families, you know, the woodwind, the brass, the strings and the percussion. And all of these families have certain types of people in it, you know. So the woodwinds have these quirky type people, the flutes and the oboes and bassoons and whatever, clarinets. And the brass, these people are, they're the tough men of an orchestra. And they have always been, and it's a funny thing. I'll probably never be able to look a brass player in the eye after saying this, but they have to prove that they are men. You know, so, and even when they're girls, they have to prove that they're tough as well. So, and then you have the harpist. You know, the harpist is, they say about harp players, they spend 90% of their lives tuning the instrument and 10% playing. Then you have the percussionists. These are the file effects, fax men. You know, they're always doing something. They're entrepreneurs. You know, they're always talking about gigs because they cross into the rock and roll area, of course, and jazz and all that sort of stuff as drummers. And they see themselves as completely brilliant. And the string players, you know, the double bass players are always quite, they're always quite chilled out, you know, and then the cellos chilled out. And then it goes to the violas and they're between the second violins and the first violins. So they're part of the harmony. They get to play the melody sometimes and they're happy with themselves. It moves up the second violins, they're a support to the whole harmony. And then you've got the first violins, they're lucky, they get the tune quite a lot. They love that and they're really wired, which is great, you know, because they're playing up the high notes all the time. This orchestra, the Blow the Dust Orchestra, if they came in as regular people in regular lives, they've actually turned into an orchestra. And all those little quirky things that happen in professional and amateur orchestras is happening with this orchestra. So the sections and their families have turned into these people. The brass guys they're tough guys and the percussion are cool, you know. So, and then the flutes are like the first violins. They're completely wired because they're playing all these high notes.
Drums kick us off. So here's drums. One, two, two, two.
It's not set up for people who might think that they need to be of a certain grade. It was set up for people to come and meet people, like-minded people. It's maintained that sort of grace, you know. And there are people of different standards. Really not important, you know. What's important is that they're trying their best. And they, this year in particular, I think that they're trying to up their game. We have a great man in our orchestra, and he is so pro Irish music that we always have to throw a little bit of Ireland in. He's a violinist. Dennis is his name.
Dennis O'Callaghan began playing the instrument as a young child. He's now 87.
First bit's quiet, okay.
There's a chap called Robin, and he plays the timps, the kettle drums, you know, the big drums at the back. And he's an incredible character, but he's conducting one of the pieces on the concert as well.
Thank you.
just goes.
We work fast, and obviously the concert you can't stop. So our dress rehearsal is normally me laughing, going, "Don't stop! Whatever you do, just keep going." Even in the professional world, people get lost on the page.
Now back to violinist Carol Fox. Carol's dad Michael gave her the gift of music. Then Carol tells me about another gift she received from her father. His 200-year-old violin. He himself played it for 80 years, and it had been previously owned by a violinist who played with the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
I inherited his violin, which is not this one. His violin is now being mended because we discovered a hairline crack in it after he died, and I don't think he ever knew there was anything wrong with it. So the story I'm keeping now is that the violin's heart was broken.
I was a little bit nervous. There was a friend there with me holding my hand as we turned the baby in.
I accompany Carol when she goes to collect her father's mended violin from Crayons in Drumcondra. Her son Cormac is driving us there.
How are you?
My son Cormac. Nice to meet you.
Come in, Cormac, don't you?
I've come as promised.
How are you?
Okay.
Little velvet cover.
Okay, yeah. So all patched up, huh?
Tell me what it was like.
Well, you see that crack there.
And that's just on the front?
That's going straight through. Yeah. And they had to take all of this off. And put little
studs inside.
Wooden studs, yeah.
That glued the cracks and then stud them.
But you see, I wouldn't let the poor fellas clean all this because I said it had to. I said it took years for that to get there. So
on the neck.
That's where the hand would have been, you know.
He did pretty much everything what you agreed together.
Yeah.
He didn't want to remove anything.
Yes, I was explaining that I told him not to remove the, I suppose, what would be called the...
The essence.
The what?
The essence.
The essence, yes, the essence.
Are you going to try it? Will you try it?
Well, maybe outside.
We're so anxious. I remember
You know I've been anxious.
You didn't
even
know
which bow he used or which is even the newer one.
Let's say this one.
That one, huh? Yeah.
Is this the first time you're playing it?
No, I have played it in the past, but usually with him having played it, and then I would just pick it up from him, so he would have the bow in his hand that should be the right one. What do you want me to play?
Anything that strikes your fancy.
Because it's much more resonant than mine is. It has more of a bass, or more mellow.
Carol later plays one of her father's favourite pieces, An die Musik, written by Schubert in praise of music.
This really is my way, in a sense, of thanking him for the music, making sure that this violin will be continued to be used. And I'm going to hang on to it and pass it on to whoever else in the family shows any interest in playing. Thank you.
I catch up with Carol back at the concert hall. It's the day of the performance, and the first time that she'll be playing her father's violin on stage.
Dad's violin is great. It's a pleasure to play. The lower notes, it's a great low sound to it. It's more like a cello, you know, in the lower registers. When he got it valued in America and sent it to this guy there, he said he thought it was made in about 1810, 1820 in the Tyrol region, of Austria or Italy. So it's been around. Some things get better with age, maybe, you know. Violins are one of them. Pianos, no, but violins, yes, from all accounts. And of course, women. He used to come here a lot with my mother at the lunchtime concerts. He loved this place, and I think he would just be absolutely, he would be amazed and delighted that his violin was actually going to be here on the stage being played.
So Dad is looking down and smiling, possibly.
I hope so. I hope I play all the notes right so he smiles even more broadly. The finale is a thank you for the music. And I was thinking when I was playing that I'd be playing that for him because he's the one that gave me the music from day one.